Blog Talk Radio.
Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm Burke Allen, and today we're talking to upcoming author Skip McRobert, who has a very interesting way of, let's say, stringing sentences together, and his phraseology I think you'll find very interesting, his background as well, and he has a graphic novel that you may be familiar with called The Smell of Burning Dreams, new books on the way, and a Busby Cafe comic series in his background as well. Skip is based in the Portland, Oregon area, and I'll tell you, if you have a question for Skip, if maybe you're interested in writing yourself, you'd like to find out more about the writing trade, how to go about it, where to get started, please reach out to us. Our telephone number is 718-506-1944. That's 718-506-1944. If you happen to be in the New York City metropolitan area, that's a free phone call. We'd love to hear from you, and your phone calls are welcome. And you can also send us a message in our chat room here at WAMS. As we welcome to our microphone, Dr. Skip McRobert. Skip, thanks for being on WAMS with us today.
Yeah, hi,
Bert. Now, you're a fiction author primarily, and let's start off by talking about your background. How long have you been writing? Is this something that you started doing when you were a kid, or is it something you came to later on in life?
I started in grade school. I had some Catholic friends who were really good fiction teachers.
And do you remember your first book that you wrote? Or your first novel? Maybe your first comic book? Your first essay that you're really proud of?
I remember in grade school, they used to have these contests where they would teach us how to... we would learn 10 new words a week, and then at the end of 10 weeks, we would have an assignment where we, in class, we had a couple of minutes, and we had to use all 100 words and as few other words as possible. And that was the first point where I realized I really liked writing, because I could commonly write a coherent story in less than 200 words.
And Skip, and by the way, if you're a writer or an aspiring writer and you'd like to ask Skip a question, we'd love to hear from you today at 718-506-1944 at WAMS Radio. As you really began to get into this as a writer, most great writers have done many other interesting things with their life. Tell us a little bit more about your other education, your other training, and some of the other jobs that you've held.
Alternative medicine is a big interest of mine. I like it because you can study the vitalistic scientific realm, which is a much older scientific realm than the main one in America that we have right now. And that, for a fantasy writer like me, that's very important. I mean, the worldview, the scientific worldview of, say, The Lord of the Rings is a vitalistic scientific worldview. As far as interesting jobs, I've had lots of jobs in the book trade. I've worked at all the way from a book warehouse to a bindery to a printing company, a library, used bookstore, just trying to get a feel for the book trade from as many angles as I could.
Wow, so you actually have been right there where they build the book and you can smell the ink on the pages, so to speak.
Yeah.
Amazing. Skip McRobert is our guest. He's an author, and he's going to talk to us about his David the Con Man series. What about it? What about advice for young writers? If there's someone who feels like they've got a story to tell, what advice would you give them?
I break that into two categories. First off, when it comes to learning how to write, the best books I've ever encountered were screenplay writing books. Even if you don't want to write screenplays, the screenplay industry very much sees fiction writing as a business and an art. It's a business, it's an art that has to be done on time and on budget. And you know, if you're writing a TV show, you can't go over time. You've got, if they want it on Wednesday, it's got to be done Wednesday.
Right, sure.
And so books on screenplay writing, Sid Field has written some really good books that I've liked. They get right to the nuts and bolts of how do you develop a character, how do you develop a plot, how do you develop ideas. The second piece of advice I would make is don't just read fiction or watch movies or TV. I read an essay by Tolkien, and he I read this way back in the 1980s, and he advised writers to read lots of nonfiction, because if you want to develop original ideas, if all you're doing is watching movies and TV and reading fiction books, your ideas are going to tend to disfit whatever is out there right now.
Sure.
The more you read nonfiction, you throw all these ideas into your head. In Tolkien's words, he said you're making a compost pile, a fictional compost pile. And, quote, your original ideas will spring out of all this entwining of all this nonfiction you've been reading.
Skip McRobert is our guest today. And if you'd like to talk with Skip, here's the number, 718-06-1944. And it's free call in the New York City metropolitan area. We're talking about the craft of writing. And, Skip, your first published book was called what?
Busby Cafe, The Last Piece.
The last piece for a first book. Now, tell us about that.
That was a comic book, a 24-page comic book, about two waitresses in a cafe where pie is used to kind of like a magical element to as a realm into the supernatural world. That and the follow-up book I wrote to that, comic book I wrote to that, were right after my theater training, when I was trying to, as a writer, you have to decide, there are two things to be a successful writer. You have to be good at the business of writing and the art of writing. You need to figure out what you like to write, and of all the different forms of writing out there, novels, screenplays, TV, what genre, what business category does your style fit into? Busby Cafe, I had some success with that. But the advice I got was people wanted to see long stories from me. You know,
right.
They were intrigued by the story, and they wanted more than could be told in a 24-page comic. And that's what led to my developing the David the Con Man series that I've got on my website, skipmcrobert.com.
And that's a good place to mention, if you'd like to find out more about Skip, do visit him online at skipmcrobert.com, and there's lots of Skip's writing that's up there for you to poke around and taste for free, much as you would taste The Last Piece, which I guess in Busby Cafe, The Last Piece, that actually refers to a piece of pie then.
Yes,
All right, very good. Skip, it says in your website that you have a master's degree in fine arts and also as a playwright. Did you ever write a play as part of your college work?
Yeah, now in school I did. The Smell of Burning Dreams was my third publication. That was a graphic novel.
Okay.
The cover for it is on my website. On the if you click on store, one of the designs there is the cover for that one. And I actually started that at the bachelor's level, my first year studying bachelor, first year in college studying theater, and it was my final thesis as my MFA project. I studied theater because I had some health problems at the time, some sports injuries, and couldn't leave the Portland area. Otherwise, I probably would have gone to California and studied screenplay writing. So I was in the kind of the odd situation of studying theater, learning theater, never really intending to go into theater writing.
How has that training as a playwright and writing for the screen, how has it manifested itself in your book so far?
You have to do theater writing, you really have to do good dialogue. You have to focus on the dialogue. In most plays, there's not going to be much special effects, no rapid cuts, no close-ups to the face. And so what the characters say, it doesn't have to be clever words. They just have to be saying interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the actor's facial mannerisms and vocal expressions can make things very clever. But you have to realize you're limited by the amount of action, and you can't be cutting back and forth. Screenplay writing also, you know, that relates to screenplay writing, and that you still have to do good dialogue, but you have to remember you're cutting back and forth, and there's a director, there's going to be close-ups. And then how all that theater and screenplay training relates to what I'm doing now, to hold people's interest, especially nowadays, with a short story or a book, you need to have action.
Sure.
And so the visual format, I mean, that's why movies tend to be more popular than books. Movies can show action much more easily. But you can, as a writer, learn how to emphasize action. And that my background in theater and screenplay writing has helped me do that.
Skip McRobert is our guest today on WAMS Radio. We're talking about the craft of writing. And Skip has an upcoming book called Not Romantic About Romance. And he has a whole series of David the Con Man stories. You can find out more at skipmcrobert.com. Now, Skip, you started, as you said, with publishing these comics. And, you know, for those of us of a certain generation, comic books were always very important to us in our childhoods, our adolescence. But it seems that certainly the previous 30 years or so, they have become very forefront in mainstream culture, and there are these, you know, huge multi-million dollar movies that are based on Marvel and DC Comics characters. People like Frank Miller have come out of writing, you know, the Dark Knight series of Batman comics, which have been made into movies. How did you find working in the comic book industry? Tell me about that experience.
I started it with small press. One thing, of the various commercial writing markets I've studied, you know, say theater, movies, books, comic books can be one of the easier ones to get into because you can do self-publishing. There are some very small presses out there. It's not as easy as it used to be. There used to be many distributors. Now there's basically just one or two. And so it's gotten a little tougher, or somewhat tougher.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's an area where people don't say that TV shows now will be cut after four or five episodes if the ratings aren't really high. In comic books, it can go. The comic book market accepts the idea that writers are starting out and learning their craft. Something like a comparison would be with baseball, with the single A, double A, triple A, and then the majors.
A farm team, so to speak.
Yeah, so at the very top, let's see, in the comic book industry, say DC and Marvel, by the time a writer gets there, they're polished. But on the small press level, the comic book fans are very much willing to look at a writer, ignore a certain lack of training, and look and see what's the potential. And that was really beneficial for me. I could get some products out there. I could get comments from professionals much more easily than I could have, say, trying to make a movie.
Skip McRobert is our guest today at WAMS. And with your comics, how do you find an artist who can put these images that you have in your head as a writer down on paper and really flesh that out and make it look like you imagine it to be?
The best way I tried actually for a couple of years and had that would be we could do a mini series of interviews on the pitfalls of trying to find artists to work with when you don't have a big budget.
So it ain't easy.
But there is a solution. There's a website called digitalwebbing.com. And on that website, there's a section for artists looking for writers, writers looking for artists. And I would say that is, for someone starting out looking, you know, for a writer, you have a low amount of money to pay an artist or no money, just looking for a collaborator. That is the way to go. Then you'll get artists from all over the world come looking at that website. In fact, the artists that did my three publications were all from Paraguay, and I met them over digital webbing.
And so the artist then that did your comics, you never met in person?
I finally did a number of years later, about 5 years after the initial works were done. I did meet Roberto Gorez when he came to the San Diego Comic Book Convention. But no, we were communicating through email. And with fortunately, Roberto had a friend named Mario who lives in Miami, who, being raised in America, both America and Paraguay, his English was very good. So if Roberto and I reached an impasse at my lack of Spanish and his lack of English, we would go through Mario.
Wow. So that's how it works. All right, very good. And at the end of the day, did you have input? Or could you say, you know, I think that his shirt should be blue, or his hair should be a different color, or his nose should be longer? How much input did you have on the final artwork?
You know, that's an interesting discussion, because I initially gave a lot of leeway. I just figured these guys are the artists. They know what it's going to look like. And after the first publication came out, especially after the first two came out, I was able to get comments. See, Portland is the third largest comic book industry city in the United States, behind New York and Los Angeles. I'm not sure which of those two is number one, but Portland is number three. But it's hard to get critiquing if you just put from professionals, if you just lay a script in front of them. If you can actually show up with a comic book, even if it's not the best in the world, they look at it because they see, aha, this guy, you know, has made enough effort to where he's actually gotten something done. And so when I went around to the professionals in town showing them my first two publications, I had actual artists, I mean top-grade artists at the top of the profession, tell me I had given the artist too much flexibility. They explained to me that the writer had to act like a movie director and think of the artist as a cinematographer, the cameraman, and I need to give more direction. Now, it needs to be a collaboration.
Sure.
But they said, boy, you know, they said, you need, as the writer, you need to think like the director.
We're talking about The Craft of Writing with author Skip McRobert. He has a new book coming up soon called Not Romantic, about romance. And right now, the David the Con Man stories are available, and you can find out more about Skip at skipmcrobert.com. All right, Skip, let's talk about this David the Con Man series. First of all, who is David and who is he conning?
Oh, David is like a Robin Hood con man. He used to be a predatory con man, like, say, Bernie Madoff. But
yes.
he had a revelation and got smacked up against his head by the world and realized he needed to stop doing that, but also realized that rather than just walking away from being a con man, maybe the best thing for him to do was to use his skills to say right, wrong. And I realize that's not an original theme. I mean, we've got the TV series right now, Leverage. I guess
right.
Actually my stories came out before Leverage. But, I mean, that's obviously been around forever. Let's take the Robin Hood stories. But what it gave me a chance to do is develop within that format that's been done before, to develop original characters and original themes to use within that format, which people like. there's no need to reinvent the wheel all the time. And so by taking a format that people liked and then looking for my own original voice in that format, I chose that as my approach.
So then, you know, it's not necessarily that he's out there, you know, in sort of a scavenger way. He's more more of a predator as opposed to a scavenger, or a scavenger as opposed to a predator. I guess if he's a con man in sort of a good way, he is the hero of these stories.
He is. He's a scavenger, like the way a crow or a, say would be a scavenger. So by that I mean he waits for guidance from the universe to know who he should go after. It might be some big thing, it might be something small. And actually, some of the stories on the website are examples of before he had this awakening. And so some of the stories actually do show him before, when he was a predator. But there's some commentary at the
beginning
to kind of help you see the implications of where it went wrong. And it's humorous. I mean, these stories are kind of humorous and over the top, so I don't want to make them sound like I'm writing some philosophical essays.
But, you know, I guess there really is the question in this character of sort of his ethics and his morality, because, you know, at some point he's a bad guy, he becomes a good guy. Is there a book or a part in the series where a light bulb goes off and he changes his ways? Is there a dramatic event that makes that happen?
The novel that I'm writing of him now, Not Romantic About Romance, that's the tipping point. So I decided I use the short stories. I've got about 14 on the website, and I think I wrote about 25 altogether. I'll be putting the others up on the website gradually. I decided to start the novel series with the tipping point.
And tell me about that. The tipping point, is that actually the point where he sort of sees the error of his ways?
Yeah, at the beginning of the novel, it's been dawning on him that eventually he'll die. What happens to him is he gradually starts to think, how has he been conned? And he expands this idea from just people around him to how has history conned, what are the big picture cons? How has history conned ethnic groups, civilizations, nations, and he starts to become aware that some of his beliefs about the world, he's been conned, and that makes him think more about the supernatural, about the next life. And so at the beginning of the book, he's thinking about a need to reform. By the end of the book, he does.
We're talking with Skip McRobert about his character, David the Con Man, and his upcoming novel, Not Romantic About Romance, which will be out soon. And if you'd like to find out more, maybe get a jump start on this fascinating character, there's some David the Con Man short stories available at skipmcrobert.com. Is it fun? Is it fun to write these stories and get into these characters' heads?
Yeah, it is. Like the first page or two, or three, I think the first two or three pages of the novel are actually on the website. On the, if you look under writings and then the writing introduction, at the end of the introduction, the first three two or three pages are there. And yeah, it is fun getting to the character, and that's part of the fun of doing a recurring character. For the writer, on one hand, it's easier. You don't have to, each time you're starting a story, you know, get to know a new character, but it's also fun to push the character, expand on the character.
And do you visualize what your main character should look like? You know, is David the Con Man, should he look like Al Pacino? Should he look like Brad Pitt? Do you have someone's face in mind?
Yeah, I think this could be my writing, my theater background. I noticed it was easier for me to write a dialogue for a character if I picked an actor. And when I'm writing, I visualize that actor. I visualize a stage in my head, and I visualize the actor moving and speaking. I found it much easier to come up with dialogue that way.
And who is David the Con Man? What's he look like?
Oh, I think one of my favorite actors is Lance Hendrickson.
Sure.
From the Millennium TV series.
That's right. Absolutely. He has a very unique face.
Yeah.
And Lance could be David the Con Man in these books. All
oh,
right.
Yeah. He's definitely old enough. This is a character this is not something for a 20 or 30 year old actor. You know, 40 year old would be probably acceptable, but someone older like Hendrickson or Dennis Hopper it would be, you know, someone good for this role.
Is that the goal, you think, of most novelists? Is that your goal to eventually see this book made into a movie or television show?
You know, from what I've talked with novelists about, movies are so dominant in our culture that, sure, you probably do hope that what you do might be become a book, but there are certain genres that just don't show up in movies. At least they haven't. A lot of the fantasy, you can go to the bookstore and look in the fantasy section, and there's many, many series out there that are very popular.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sword and sorcerer series, takeoffs on Lord of the Rings. Romance, comedy, detective thrillers, espionage, those tend to show up as movies. Although I think what's happening here is as cable TV and all these ways to access the internet are exploding, that the cost of producing is going to come down so low that the industry is going to be hungry for more material, and we're going to see a wider realm. I bet you in 10 years what we're going to be able to get over the internet as far as a TV series or a movie is going to just dwarf what we can get right now.
I have an email question here from Mark in Seattle, and Mark wants to know if this book and this character in this book, David the Con Man, is based in Christian fiction.
I would say yes and no. I'm not normally a fence straddler. What I mean by this is that the author it has a Christian worldview. I attend an Eastern Orthodox church, and churches in that category, like the Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox. And so it does have a Christian worldview, but it's not a message book. This isn't Pilgrim's Progress.
So it's more of a moral thing. It's more morals and what's right and wrong as opposed to a heavy religious overtone.
Oh, definitely. In fact, to answer Mark's question a little better, what the novel, the category I would say I'm trying to fit into is classic horror. Now, Frankenstein and Dracula are in the classic horror category. In fact, they defined it. Both those stories, you know, if you stop and think about it, both those stories have a very heavily Christian worldview, but you wouldn't call them Christian fiction. And that's the category I'm fitting into.
Skip McRobert is our guest. He's the author of The David the Con Man short stories and the new novel Not Romantic About Romance. How many of these David the Con Man stories are there so far on the website?
Oh, I think there's 14. We've got 14 up, and I've got about another 10. I'm having to go through and do some adapting of the others, and I'm probably going to be putting about one new story up there a month. And then on the blog part, you might call some of the entries that I put in the blog and will put in the blog kind of mini con man stories. I get little ideas all the time, and I know I'm not ever going to be able to flesh these all out into stories, and so some of them I'm just kind of putting out as very small entries on the blog.
It's a fascinating website, lots of fun stories, and a whole world, Skip, that you've developed around David the Con Man. Best of luck with the new novel, and if you'd like to visit Skip online, the website address is skipmcrobert.com, and we'll be watching for Not Romantic About Romance in a bookstore soon. Skip, thank you so much for being on WAMS today.
Sure, Brooke. Thank you.
We're always happy to talk to great authors and other interesting guests on WAMS. I'm Burke Allen. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.